It's Rob and Brent and my Reggie dude. And don't forget, it also features Dawson too. We gonna give you all the dope reviews. But first, we'll hit on all the movie news. Cha-ching, cha-ching, box office due. In between the news and the reviews, there's not a lot that we don't do. So turn the volume up, cause we coming through. Put your headphones on and tie your shoes. Jackman and Grant, we got all the views. We're like Brando and Godfather 2. We're gonna make a podcast you can't refuse. This is the Cinema Chat Podcast, and we know a lot about movies. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cinema Chat Podcast with Rob and Brent and Reggie featuring Dawson. I'm Brent.
I'm Rob.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm featuring Dawson.
No Rob this week. Rob is traveling for work, so he shan't be joining us. But we are going to be reviewing a different movie than we had previously announced. We were supposed to review Rebel Moon Part 2, whatever the subtitle is. But we're not. We're reviewing The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare from Guy Ritchie. So we're going to talk about that later. But before we get there, let's do our normal shit.
What did we watch this week? Let us give you a peek. We'll get to the news real soon. First, listen to this little tune. Give us the attention we seek while we tell you what we watched this week.
I actually had a pretty busy week last week with all the kids' extracurriculars, so I didn't watch a ton. I can't remember when I finished Fallout, but I think I finished Fallout since the last time we talked. Really enjoyed that. Glad that there's a season two coming. I also watched Curb Your Enthusiasm a few times. The NBA playoffs have started, so I've watched a few games in the NBA playoffs. And then obviously I watched this week's movie. And I also went to see Abigail with my daughter on Saturday night. And that is something that Reggie and I, sans Dawson, will be reviewing on Cutting Room Floor at some point. If you'd like to hear our review of Abigail, you can head over to patreon.com/cinemachatpodcast. Sign up there. You get Cutting Room Floor, which is our Patreon-only show, and that'll be an episode coming up in the near future. So that's what I watched this week. Dawson, what about you?
I had a decent week. X-Men 97. It's a banger. Watch that. I watched a couple of movies. Late Night with the Devil. I watched that today.
What'd you think about that?
I watched it today too.
I didn't care. Like the end, the final act was cool, I guess, but the rest I didn't give a shit. I don't care. But
it felt overhyped to me. I liked it, but everybody was talking about it like it was an amazing movie, and it was fine. I liked it,
yeah.
But not great, not fantastic, not amazing. What else did you watch?
Yeah. I watched Immaculate. So I have two horror movies this week.
Ah, a little Sydney Sweeney action, huh?
And horror, I mean horror. Yeah. You said don't watch it. You said don't watch it. And I didn't listen to you. Because I heard she had like a really good performance, but I want to see some more of her acting chops and see what she can bring to the table. And boy, what not a fun time.
What a wild ending.
I didn't like that movie. I would not recommend anyone watching that movie. It's gross. Not for me. I also watched Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Did it give your eyeballs scars?
No. No, it was awesome.
Come on now. You try to sell that shit? Awesome.
Yeah, it's like Little Caesars is good when people tell you when you don't have anybody telling you it's bad. It is.
I mean, I don't know what
I'm
the fuck
sorry,
that
say
means.
It again.
Little Caesars pizza, it's good when people, you don't have to listen to people tell you how bad Little Caesars is.
So you're saying that if I just don't listen to everybody talking about how bad it is, that I'll think it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
outside forces telling me that it's bad.
It's like, we know it was bad.
Oh, okay.
And the first one was bad. And this is the second part of bad. And the excessive slow-mo is just unbelievably stupid.
It's worse, right?
It's unbelievable, guys. I'm telling you, there's like a 3-minute scene of them farming in slow-mo. And I'm not kidding. It's like they have like the
scythe,
the thing, the scythe, and they're like cutting wheat. And then they're like throwing wheat.
Cutting what?
Wheat. And they're like in a basket. And
dude, and you are not selling me on this.
There's a point after they get done with their farming, because they have like 3 days until the space Nazis come back to collect the wheat they told them they needed in like 6 months or something like that in the first part. But that plan got shortened when she attacked the guy in the first one, I guess. I guess he survived, so he's coming back. I don't know. And there's like they finish up with their chores between training. And they like are sitting around the campfire and they're giving you backstory on people, and every single character they have slow-mo, like I couldn't tell you any of their names besides the main character. Her name was Cora. The rest, I couldn't tell you any of their names. But they like do slow-mo for everything. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So check it out, you know.
Dude.
There is some cool-ish action
in like the second.
In the second half of the movie? Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is.
There's nothing good about this movie.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Okay. You're already going.
Well, he already heard people talking shit about Little Caesars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. If I gave you a Hot and Ready, you'd be like, this is trash. And I'll be like, okay. I won't even watch you enjoy it. You can just
Here's
take
the bite thing.
Of those like crazy maybe... sticks.
We'll probably talk about it if maybe if there's a Snyder cut. I think that was the decision, right?
Yes.
But like this movie, like I think you have undersold the amount of slow motion in this movie.
Not like, possible.
You would think that, but yes, it is possible. Like there's a moment where like you said, they're harvesting grain, and you see every moment of the harvesting grain. And that's like 20, 30 minutes of this movie, it feels like. And then we get to the point where the grain you think is going to be important, and it's not. It just gets blown up.
Yeah, they don't care about the grain.
They don't care about the grain.
Screw
the grain. So why don't we watch them? The exposition dump is the most sloppiest, laziest thing ever. Like, Anthony Hopkins in the beginning of the movie tells you everything that happened in the first movie. So I was like, oh, wow. So you really don't have to watch the first movie at all. They explain everything. And then there's one moment where they're sitting around a table and Jimon Hansung just goes to everybody, says, tell me your story. And they tell them their story. And he goes out to the next person. Tell me your story. I was like, I cannot believe this shit right now.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Zack Snyder isn't just a bad director. He is incompetent.
I mean, he's got plans for 3 more movies or 6 more movies, so you gotta let him breathe. You gotta let him cook.
No.
And Netflix is gonna do it.
No,
you know
take
what?
The ovens away.
Guess what?
Take the ovens
there's,
away.
There's... You know what though? I think this would play better on a large format screen. I'm being dead serious. Think of the dumb shit that we've all seen that we really like the latest Fast and the Furious installment. We really liked that movie because it was on a big screen. If you watch that movie the first time at home on your TV or on your phone,
at least that has passable writing. Like, yeah. It's a story there. You know, like, this movie, the Dreadnought shows up, and I'm like, why isn't this movie over right now? Because at no point are they like, oh, yeah, we can defend ourselves. You know, I mean, he wanted to do Magnificent Seven, and he did, like, Magnificent Seven in space. But, like, imagine, I was talking to Jonathan about this because we watched it together, and I said, imagine if – a bunch of people, like five super badass warriors, came to Earth and was like, yo, a Star Destroyer is coming to Earth and it's going to wreck your shit, but we're going to teach you how to fight. We would not be able to do anything against that because it could just bomb us from orbit. And for some reason in the movie, they decide not to do that.
Even no, they do. They do start to heat up their crank Death Star, because he's at one point that guy's cranking it and aiming it at the build at the village. But I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But they do. He does try to aim the big dreadnought at him.
I don't know if Dawson's trying to trick people into watching this because he wants to spread misery, or if he's being serious.
I think I had a fun time.
You had a good fun time.
It wasn't a good movie, but I laughed. I enjoyed the stupidity-ness of like slow-mo everything. It's just ridiculous. He's like a kid with a toy.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Netflix needs to rein in their directors. And I feel my fear is that everybody hate watching this is going to give the impression Netflix that people like this.
Because there's no box office tied to it. All they care about is how many people are watching it and talking about it. They don't care if it's good or bad. Look how many bad Adam Sandler movies we got. He got a $400 million contract to make the shittiest comedy movies of the last decade. And, like, they don't care. They just want people's eyeballs on the shit. You go to Walmart and buy Rebel Moon branded popcorn. What? Just saying. They have Rebel Moon branded stuff merchandise at Walmart right now.
I don't understand Netflix and how they choose to do things over there. Because, like, Rebel Moon is getting 53% audience score. Like, how do you look at that and you're like, yeah, we did it.
We did the thing. How many 80 million people probably watched it this weekend. For more follow up with us on Patreon, we'd go a deeper dive of Rebel Moon. How about Anthony Hopkins being like the biggest badass robot, and he just sits back the whole time? He could have done so much, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Could have. When his eyes turn red, it's over. I think that's about everything that I watched.
Rochi, what about you?
I watched everything Dawson said. I watched Talk with the Devil, Rebel Moon, the aforementioned Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, X-Men. Yeah, nothing new over here. Oh, Discovery's back. I've been watching that.
My man,
last season.
My man really just copy-pasted Dawson's whole segment. He's like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I copy your homework? Yeah, just don't make it look like... Just make it a little different. Oh, Star Trek. He didn't watch Star Trek.
All right, let's do some movie news.
Cindy, the news is on!
Insightful.
Good news.
If the headline is big enough, it makes the news big enough.
Timely.
The news goes on for 24 hours a day.
Well prepared.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Well, I got some bad news for you.
Do you want the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news?
The Aladdin news?
This is movie news.
Movie news. It won't be as long as last week with CinemaCon, but we got some things here. Let's start off. There's a new movie called El Paso Everywhere. It's a movie adaptation in the works, starring CinemaChat favorite Lakeith Stanfield. The director is Lorenzo de Bonaventura. I don't know anything about them, but the story is it's a vampire hunter who's on the hunt for his ex-girlfriend named Dracula.
Okay.
I'm just saying, get ready for the swarm of, like,
bro, vampires are hot.
Pretty
again.
Cool black actors hunting vampires, and like, it's gonna be cool.
This isn't the KKK, Reggie.
Nah, this isn't the KKK, but he's looking for his girlfriend.
Okay.
Dracula. D R A.
Her name is Dracula.
Maybe I'm pronouncing this wrong. D R A C U L A E.
That's what I would say.
That's what I would say.
So, looking for his girlfriend.
I love it.
Just announced, I think we talked about this last week. There's a new Blair Witch project coming. This week, the original cast of the Blair Witch Project has released a statement ahead of the 25th anniversary and the new reboot, asking for residual payments of the, from the film, which they never got from the original. Consultation on future projects where their name and likeness are used, and a $60,000 grant annually to an inspiring filmmaker to aid in making their first feature film.
Yeah, so I saw this, and I think what I saw was that they haven't gotten residuals because whenever they made the movie, they weren't a part of the guild. Mm-hmm. They weren't a part of SAG, so they don't get residuals from it. And then consultation on future projects where their names and likenesses are used. I mean, they probably just at that point wouldn't use their names and likenesses. At this point, I don't know how much it really holds. And then I did see the $60,000 annual grant to an aspiring filmmaker to aid in making their first feature film. That's nice, you know, because it was, you know, a small budget independent film where they made their first movie and they want to give that ability to other people. But they were very specific to say that it would be a grant and not, you know, funding, because it would be the filmmakers would own the rights to the film clean and clear if it was a grant. So that's why they worded that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't
think they're in the wrong for requesting these things. I think they should get residuals, even if they weren't. You know, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
I think they're
the movie made like $250 million. Like,
I do think they're asking for them like back pay, like all of the residuals they would have gotten. I don't know.
You're not gonna get that.
They're not gonna get that. But I think they should maybe get some additional compensation from someone.
Especially the shit they had to go through filming this movie.
Yeah, like wild. I've heard about what they went through, and I didn't realize that most of that movie is like improv. And they were just like, hey, this is what we need you guys to get through today, and we're just going to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, and like the shaking of the tent, they had no idea. Losing of the map, I think, was unintentional.
Like, no, they told... So each day they would give like one or two of them a prompt. They would give them all prompts. Oh. For that day, and you know, they wouldn't know each other's prompts. So Josh, I think his name was, his prompt that day was to lose the map, but the other two didn't know. So they thought
they're
out in the woods, and they think literally this guy just lost their fucking map. And like at that point, it's not about the movie. They're not acting. They are pissed because now they don't have a map, and they like routed them. There's like that scene where they walk around in a circle and they wound up and they had like led them around that path to be back where they were. It's pretty wild the shit that they did to them.
And like there was like pure, like true horror in it, because like one of the scenes they had no idea what they could see. They thought they saw something and they were like, this is kind of legit.
Yeah.
And like they didn't know at the end when they got taken, like they didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, when she goes down in the basement, she didn't know he was going to be down there staring at the wall.
I mean, that's so wild that, like, one of my favorite horror movies is, like,
it's a real, here's like, the thing. Real emotion.
Yeah, it's real emotion. So, like, to a certain point, it's, like, not even acting at that point, you know, which I'm okay with to a certain extent. But, like, it feels like now... I'm learning that I've been watching people get tortured, you know, like now I don't feel so good about it.
Well,
and then to find out they kind of got screwed on, like this movie is one of the most profitable indie movies of all time and they didn't get anything from it. That sucks.
I don't know that I would look at it like them being tortured, because it's not, you know, they didn't stick them out there and not communicate with them. Like they communicated with them every day. So it's not like they're like, you know, they knew they were safe in the moment. They're scared. Right. But they know ultimately they're going to be safe. It's not like the fucking, that haunted house dude that brings people out to torture them and tell them he's going to pay them $100,000 if they make it through or whatever the fuck it is. It's not like that, but yeah, it's pretty wild.
So, check it out. Go look into the Blair Witch making of. It's pretty cool. Disney's back on its original IP train. They're announcing a movie based on Space Mountain. So it's been a while since we've gotten back to the Disney theme park ride themed. Well, no, we just got Haunted Mansion last year. Never mind.
I mean, is there...
Parts of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain.
I mean, Space Mountain's just a roller coaster, right? Like, there's no lore or anything.
Oh, I'm sure there's lore.
Is there? Is there lore behind Space Mountain?
Of course. I would assume so. Yeah. There's got to be lore for... Well, I mean, it has to be a story for you to get on the ride, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they always have, like, little intro.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's some sci-fi.
It's been a long time since I've been to Disney World.
But... Haunted Mansion had a story. Yeah.
And they integrated pieces from the Headless Horseman guy.
Yeah.
The story of Space Mountain is about an Earthman who dreams of exploring the mysteries of the galaxies and the wonders of the universe.
Okay.
Riders experience the plot of the ride through a sequence of sensations as they zip through the dark in their rocket car. The ride features a futuristic soundtrack, shooting stars, celestial satellites, orbs of lights, and comets, meteors, and swirling wormholes.
Okay, so the story is Spaceman. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're getting the Spaceman movie, cool. Everyone.
Starring Ryan Gosling. It's going to be cool. I don't know. But
oh. You said Ryan Gosling. I was definitely in.
Wouldn't surprise me. Furiosa has people talking. There is a 15-minute action sequence that took 78 days to shoot with almost 200 stunt people working on it every single day. Anya Taylor-Joy said it was the longest sequence any of them had ever shot, which I thought surprising because Chris Hemsworth must not be involved in it because he did that one for Extraction 2. That was like half an hour. Unless it's like a continuous shot. I don't know if it's 15 minutes continuous. I don't know. But a 15-minute shot in an action movie.
Well,
I don't.
It's
care.
A 15-minute action sequence. I don't know.
Says,
yeah, but it's not a 15-minute shot. So I would assume it's... If it was a one shot, they would say that. The sequence just sort of leads me to believe... yeah, that's weird. Because I would assume something like Endgame would have something longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah, probably. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird that... unless it is, I don't know. 15-minute, like...
But 78 days to shoot, you know, 15 minutes with 200 stunt people. That is, I believe the word is epic at that point. It's a lot.
Too bad I don't give a shit about Furiosa.
Yeah, same.
No interest. No, don't care.
Too bad.
Just a piece of good fortune news. Warner Brothers has been cutting costs, shelving movies for tax purposes, tax write-offs. The writer strike held on for months with the refusal to pay actors and writers. David Zaslav's 2023 salary was $49.7 million, a 26.5% increase over 2022. So,
well, when you save the company a bunch of money, you get compensated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Just seems fair.
Yeah, get that money, David.
So, you know, it's just the way it works, brother.
I think he was one of the guys that said it was ridiculous for people asking for like a $100,000 compensation package, insurance, or whatever.
It's yeah.
Like, okay.
It is. It's funny too because like he's not really saving the money per se. He's just opening up cash flow. So like, it looks like they have more money, but like they still have a lot of debt. They're not getting rid of. So like that. Check is going to come due, you know, and in typical fashion, he'll be gone in another company, a CEO of another company. And then someone's going to end up being a CEO and being like, what the fuck is going on? I've got no money. I've got nothing to do. We're going to have to close bankruptcy.
He's going to get that golden parachute.
I declare bankruptcy. Yeah.
He'll get that golden parachute. Don't you worry.
What I don't understand is it's so obvious that that's what's happening. And I don't understand it as a stockholder in a company like that, why you're okay with that, why you're like, oh, look at all this money I've got right now, but you know, like, you're not gonna have that in a few months or to a year, you know, you got this guy,
dump it,
stack the stock buybacks and cash outs, and it goes up, it doesn't matter, you cash out at the peak, and if it tumbles, who cares? Yeah, you made your money.
That's true.
Keanu Reeves will star in Ruben Östlund. He is most famous known for Triangle of Sadness, which I did not like. But he's gonna will star in a movie called The Entertainment System Is Down. And this film, Reggie, is a social satire set on a long-haul flight on which the entertainment system isn't working, which sparks major chaos. John Wick on a plane, and the entertainment system's down, and fucking people are losing their mind.
People lose their mind because they don't have their shows.
I can't watch my... I have an 8-hour flight, and I can't watch the newest episode of Bluey.
What am I supposed to do?
Here's the thing.
Which, hold on, accounts for 20... Hold on. Bluey accounts for 27% of all streaming on Disney+. Bluey, 27% of all streaming on Disney+.
If you've watched an episode of Bluey, you get it.
Here's why that makes sense to me. It's a show for kids, and apparently adults go batshit crazy over it. I've never seen an episode, but like...
Hold Reggie, on, brother. You have to get through three seasons of it for it to be good. It's the best anime of all time.
First of all, they have a lot of kid shows on there. They also have Marvel, Star Wars, all these properties they paid $4 billion for. Bluey isn't even a Disney show, is it? It's like they license it.
They license it, yeah.
27%, yo.
It's incredible. My kids watch it. I watch it. These last couple episodes, mind-blowing.
Anyway.
I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you.
Anyway, Reggie.
The twists and the turns and the heartstrings. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's so touching. It makes me sad. There's Bluey. Their house was for sale. Spoiler alert. Then it wasn't for sale. Oh, my God. You don't know the trauma that causes to a child, Reggie, when they have to move houses, when they're... Oh, wait.
Hold on. Reggie doesn't know the trauma of moving.
Did you ever experience trauma as a child having to leave your house, seeing a for sale sign in front of it?
I mean, I moved like every 3 years growing up.
Well, you got desensitized to it.
What about the first time? Were you sad?
The first time I was like 2. I didn't really understand what was going on. It was just in dog like, years, okay.
That's like 8. So perfect age is Bluey.
Okay.
Anyway, Reggie, the entertainment...
you're gonna trick me into watching this show. No, is what's gonna happen?
It's really tricky, it is.
You
good.
Will thank me for watching it later. You should watch it with Des. He would love it if he doesn't watch it. Telling you, it's great. It's really.
You want to know something funny? I'm gonna let you guys know this, and I know that Jonathan won't be listening to this for
it's just
2 months
us.
Or so.
It's just us here,
right? But, back in February, I think. Like, I've been getting Disney Plus, you know, just a year subscription, whatever, and just auto-renews. And then this year, I didn't let it auto-renew. I had a new card, and then I was like, oh, I need to update my card info. And I didn't, and I was like, I don't think anybody's watching Disney Plus. I did not renew it. It expired in, like, February. It is now April, almost May. Nobody has said a damn thing about why isn't Disney Plus working. And I'm like, wow. So, like, I've been paying for this and nobody's been using it. So I'm just curious. Like, at this point, I haven't said anything. I just want to know how long it's going to go.
How are you watching X-Men 97?
Busted. Busted.
What do you mean busted?
You said you watched X-Men 97.
I have been. I have a friend's login.
Oh, well, that's also illegal. two more quick things. After speaking of writer's strike, A24 and Netflix have both been caught using AI this week to make material. A24, which was one of the first companies to jump on board, like, hey, we'll sign, we support you guys.
Wow.
They released.
What was the strike all about?
Yeah. They released
Reggie,
marketing material.
We won the war, but what was it all for?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So they released AI marketing material for Civil War, and Netflix used AI to alter a character, a person from a true crime episode to make her look happy. as she was
being, I heard about that.
Something trial for murder. So it's like, what do you guys, why is that necessary?
How incredibly ironic, in the case of Civil War, a movie made about truth in journalism and accurate reporting, and they used AI to make posters for the movie instead of hiring a real artist.
Yeah.
And people are how do you know?
To hire a graphic designer.
People are like, how do you know it's not, it's AI? I could tell immediately at looking at it. I guess I'm getting better at it. But then, like, I'm like zooming.
Fingers.
I'm like zooming in. I'm like, this motherfucker doesn't have legs on this boat. This car has three doors on it.
Yeah.
Come on, people. What are we doing?
Yeah. And I noticed it. I was looking for it when I was watching that Late Night with the Devil. And I, you know, it's like these splash screens that pop up, and it's like, oh
yeah. How stupid, that's right? AI.
How it's stupid. It's so unnecessary. Hire someone like our buddy Meech to make a poster that would show up on screen for 3 seconds, pay them $1,000. It's so stupid. So anyways, Martin Scorsese is going to be filming a biopic of Frank Sinatra, starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Frank Sinatra. Jennifer Lawrence will star as Sinatra's second wife, Ava Gardner. So,
okay.
This will probably take place after Martin Scorsese makes his Jesus film, which is going to be set in modern day in black and white.
Okay.
Interesting. And Andrew Garfield has been named that might star in that film.
As Jesus?
As Jesus?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be Jesus. Maybe. But yeah, I don't know.
So is Jesus in modern day, you said?
It's like modern day, like New York or something. It's going to be like set in New York in black and white.
Is this like Jesus come back? Treat everyone as if they were Jesus. It's the homeless man on the side of the road.
He had like this whole thing on like what it was going to be like. And maybe I'm quoting it wrong because my brain's fried. But like, I'm pretty sure he was saying it was going to be like a black and white film set in like New York, Brooklyn, and Jesus was going to be there. And maybe it's the first time he's here. Maybe it's a coming again. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. But yeah, it sounded kind of interesting. And I saw Andrew Garfield, and there was one other name that was possibly tied to it, but I don't have it in front of me, and I didn't write it down because I'm a great journalist. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much everything.
Okay, all right.
For this week's news.
Well, yeah. Then let's scoot over to some box office.
Box office
results for the weekend of April 9th through the 21st, 2024. We have three newcomers in our top five this week. None of them are at number one. Number one at the box office, Civil War for the second week. It pulled in a measly $11.1 million to take number one. Coming in second, the radio silence movie Abigail, $10.3 million. Comes in at number two. Number three is last week's number two, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. An additional $9.5 million on its domestic gross. It brings it up to $171 million domestic. Also, number four, the movie that we're reviewing this week, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, $8.9 million. And then I have to assume this is an anime, Spy X Family Code White. I assume that's an anime. Yes.
I mean, if you're looking at me to confirm, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Well, the distributor's Crunchyroll, so there you go.
Oh, yeah. Say less.
So, yeah, that's your top five at the box office for April 19th through the 21st. Love you too, Duke Silver. Love you too, buddy. Let's get into our feature presentation.
And now, our feature presentation. Gus March Phillips. I have a mission I want you to lead. Thank you, Sergeant.
What's the plan?
To neutralize the German U-boats in the North Atlantic.
We're losing the war. Hitler is not playing by the rules, so neither are we.
We both know that I'm not very popular with the administration.
The reason they find you unattractive is the very reason I find you attractive.
If I'm to do this, I'll need my own team. You won't like them. They're all...
No!
Mad.
They'll need to be.
This is an unsanctioned, unauthorized mission. If we fail, England will be condemned to a lifetime under the German boot.
And so I said, that is not a dog. That is my wife!
It's very good.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, written by Paul Tamasay, Eric Johnson, and Arash Amel, directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Henry Cavill, Alan Ritchson, Alex Pettyfer, Isa Gonzalez, Carrie, is it Elwes? How do you say his name?
Hughes?
I feel bad.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how to say that name, and I should know. I feel like that's an actor I should be able to say right.
I know, and you know what I do? I always just rush through it, like I'm saying Worcestershire. I always just rush through it so that no one like.
Calls me Fracky right. Says Elwes.
Okay,
Elwes's.
Fracky, I don't think that's right.
Elwes's? You put an apostrophe S in there. Now I don't know what to do with that.
It's like Weesies.
Elwes's. Autocorrect genius. Oh, okay. Elwes. Okay.
It also has Henry Golding, Till Schweiger, and a whole bunch of other people. you know, I could have looked that up ahead of time. Fuck it. Yeah. So this is the next Guy Ritchie movie. And, you know, I saw the trailer for this whenever it popped up, and I was like, yeah, that looks like a good time. I'm down with Henry Cavill shooting some people and sticking his tongue out. Sure, why not? Let's go have a good time at the movie theater. I was excited for this one. Much more excited than I was for Rebel Moon Part 2. Let's just say that. Dawson, where were you at heading into this?
I mean, the trailer looked okay. I don't know. I like Henry Cavill. I like Alan Richardson. I don't know. The trailer looked fine. I prefer Rebel Moon Part 2's The Scargiver over this, but
okay, all right. Reggie, what was your temperament heading into this?
How did I feel about a Guy Ritchie movie?
Yeah.
You know I was in. And I saw that trailer, and it has, like, this cast is amazing. So, yeah, Superman's in it. I'm all for it.
Is he always going to be Superman to you?
I think so. Or The Witcher.
It's time to move on.
That's a shame.
Or The Witcher.
The Witcher? Ugh.
What happens when he pops up in Marvel as, like, Cyclops?
I can't see him as Cyclops, man. He's just too big.
Can you see him as...
Oh, I suppose Cyclops is a tall dude.
Well, I mean, Marvel plays fast and loose with their body types.
Yeah.
Because Hugh Jackman is not short and stubby.
True. That's true.
He's big and...
You know, that's a weird thing because, you know, like, you have a lot of things where, like, most actors are short and they appear tall, and like Hugh Jackman, you have the reverse where he's like, he's a tall dude, and they, I don't know if they ever tried to make him appear short, but like the character is supposed to be short, so it's a funny thing. But anyway, yeah, I was super excited about this. Plus, like, I was aware of the history of this, like, story, you know, like the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, just because, like, I'm a bit of a history buff. So, like, seeing it brought to film was kind of fun.
Reggie, are you...
What?
Are you a big World War II buff? Or just history buff?
History buff. Okay. I like history.
That's early onset Republican, bro.
Jesus.
there's a stand-up bit.
The way he said that, though.
It was perfect, and I'm like, that's exactly Shane Gillis, how he said it.
Oh.
He's a history buff, and he's like, that's early onset Republican.
You know what is funny? Jess is in the chat room, and she said adding this to the list. Because, like, she keeps saying that I have conservative tendencies. And because, like, apparently...
Are you just getting a text message from her? Because, like, yeah.
Is there a chat room I don't know about?
Yeah. No, she's in the Skype. Not Skype.
She's on our Skype.
Twitch. Call. She's in Twitch.
No, she is not.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she is.
It's Scratch You, Duke Silver.
Did she send you a private message? Are you making stuff up?
No, I'm not.
He's lying. He's lying through his teeth right now.
It up.
He's trying to gaslight us.
She's
right
not
now.
Even real. She's not even real.
He's AI. It's her AI girlfriend.
Okay, she says she's listening, but she's not in the chat, I guess. But she's listening.
Stop gaslighting us, Reggie.
I thought she was in chat because she just sent me something. She, like, as I said on the history book, she said, I'm adding this to the list. But anyway, where was I? I got.
You knew the history of it. Your history, yes. Buff. Yes. By the way, hi, Jess. Hi.
Yeah, hey, thanks for listening. You could be in our Twitch chat and, like, support.
Yeah, get in the Twitch chat so people know that you're real.
I'm not
some AI girl.
I'm not.
People can have two Twitch accounts.
People are gonna start looking at my pictures and counting fingers.
Yeah. I'm not totally certain that she's not AI.
She's just Snicky. Why? Hey, sorry guys, I can't be on the show next week to review this movie. I gotta go to New York with
like Ricky. Why does she have four legs in this picture, Reggie?
I was into it, and it's, of course, it's Guy Ritchie, so that it was like a bit of a treat when certain people showed up on film, like, oh, Ian Fleming. I was like, oh my god, yes, you know, like, so I knew a lot about this, and it was just fun to watch.
Dawson, did you know anything about this?
Not a ton. Besides, it was a true story, and I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. I didn't know enough about
British
war history.
I didn't know anything going into it. I am not a history buff. Firmly Democrat. Not into history whatsoever.
It is so weird, man. Being like a fan of history is a conservative thing. Like,
bro, it's a sign. It's a sign.
Yeah, apparently, like being into like Ren Faires is a sign. Apparently,
you're checking some boxes, brother.
I check a lot of boxes, apparently, which is weird. I don't know.
Like, you're gonna vote third party, which is like the same thing.
Wearing red baseball hats.
Like, oh, I am voting third
party. All right. I don't want this to get real. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I didn't know anything about the story heading into it. So it might as well have been fictional to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Where do we want to start? Reggie, since you know the history of this, why don't you take us through this a little bit? What would you like to talk about?
So, basically, I guess the quick rundown is that Britain was losing the war, the Second World War. Like, I think France maybe had fallen at this time. And, like, the quick history in America was, like, after World War One, Americans were like, fuck this world stage thing. Like, isolationism had taken over in a big way. So, like, America wasn't going to get into the war at all. And the debate was, well, if Europe falls, then is this a world, you know, that we kind of want to live in? And, like, I don't think a lot of people had known about the atrocities of the Holocaust at the time. It wasn't, like, big in the public consciousness. But essentially, America was like, that's a European thing. We're not going to get in it. But then there were Americans who were like, yo, we got to get into this because we can't let Germany rule. But then the biggest problem was Europe had already seen like it was going to fall. So America didn't want to join losing fight. So it was a thing where like Britain and the U-boats were basically kicking everybody's ass, and that was the problem. So they, in order to, you know, counteract this, they had to just, you know, take the U-boat problem off the map and have a big win that America could feel like, okay, Europe can win this with our help. So that's kind of where this came in, because it was at a time when, like, old world politics and ways to fight wars was butting up against a new modern techniques and stuff, because, like, they had this idea of, like, you could call it classism, whereas, like, oh, there are certain ways we do things. We kind of fight with honor, and this isn't honorable. And, you know, that's why, like, Churchill had to do all this stuff, like, in the shadows, because it wasn't seen as classy the way that they were doing it in this group. So he puts his group together. They go on these missions to fight the war in a way that will actually win it, because if they fight by the old school rules, they were going to lose.
I didn't know that Winston Churchill was the Amanda Waller of history. You know, he put together his suicide squad. I mean, that's all I could think of, where I'm like, oh, we got a bunch of bad guys that are going to do the good thing.
So, I mean, when you find out, like, some of the people that were in it, like, they were, like, Christopher Lee was, like, a big important member of this. Like, in this group, in this movie, like, in this...
The actor, Christopher ministry, Lee?
Yes.
Yeah. No shit.
He was the guy that was, like, they based James Bond on.
Yeah, he was a spy. I think
Ian
also...
Fleming took that from, like, this...
Isn't that crazy?
And that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Thank you. Like I said, I don't know enough about history. Okay. All right. That's fun. Wow.
Yeah, so like this group is what led to what we now know is like MI5? MI6? The British spy group? Is it MI6?
I don't know. I'm not a history buff.
Mission Impossible 6? Oh.
But anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun, you know, and to see this unfold. And then, of course, with Guy Ritchie doing his Guy Ritchie's isms. What I thought was really interesting was the sound editing, because there were moments where there's just people talking. Like, it stuck out to me how there was like no like music, you know, like usually when there's there's some sort of score or something on the bottom, but like this was just, you would just hear people speaking and like having conversations, and there wasn't like sound in the background of whatever you would think you would normally hear. It was kind of interesting and like an interesting choice, I should say.
All right, well, let's get down to brass tacks here. I had a good time with it, but not to quote Rob too heavily, I felt like the pacing was a bit of an issue for me.
I tend to agree.
Are stretches where I was like, I kind of need something to happen pretty soon. And then it would go on a little longer. than I would like it to. It just felt like we took too long in between things without really doing a lot to further the story. It felt like there were things that happened over the course of like 5 minutes that probably could have been easily accomplished economically in 2 minutes. And it happened multiple times. So while I did have fun and I did enjoy the movie, it was not to the levels which I thought I would enjoy it, just because it felt like it got really bogged down in pieces. And part of that is like the intelligence pieces where they're gathering information. It just wasn't all that compelling, honestly. Like, I like Isaac Gonzalez. I think I have a new celebrity crush that's been building over the course of the last several movies I've seen her in. But her scenes kind of felt like they went on longer than they had to. I don't know. It just, it felt really slow in some places. Dawson, you said you agreed.
I agree.
With that?
I was, the action was fun and the action was cool, but the story was, and like, the ending, I feel like the ending of this movie was kind of less like, oh, okay, that's a exciting ending to an action movie.
Didn't see that happening.
No, I was just like, okay.
Reggie, your opinion on what we're saying here?
Not knowing the details of this specific operation, I guess. Like, I think sometimes the thing about spy movies are they give us this impression that, like, it's all this overtop action and all that, you know, like, you know, buildings exploding and hundreds of people getting killed. But, like, the idea of a spy is if you're doing your job right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of boring, you know, from the outside, because nobody knows what's happening. So, like, kind of feel like this, as far as, like, spycraft goes, I really enjoyed it. Because, you know, what we don't see in a lot of time in spy movies is the psychological stuff. You know, the fact that she was getting to his head, had to, you know, work the mark, so to speak. Like, I found all that to be quite interesting. So, like, the way every, you know, they had a plan and then it had to change and they had to be on their feet all the time. I don't know. Like, I found all that interesting. And then the dialogue also, I think, helped. And, like, this cast of characters, there are so many funny moments in it. You know, just the way that they would react to things I thought was hilarious. So, like, I had a lot of fun with it. I thought the action, like, the ending, I don't know. That felt very, okay, maybe this is another red flag, but upper crust, like, British, the way that they're just like, I'm going to turn over these ships, good boy, and we'll accept our punishment, good boy. Like stuff like that I found charming and endearing.
You find that charming and endearing?
Yeah, like, it was like, because these guys, they're not like Ethan Hunt. They're not, you know, these guys who are just like, you know, John Wick or whatever. You know, they're like, they realize what they're doing and they don't really care because it's ends justify the means. But at the same time, they're like, yeah, we're gonna. It's not like the tortured souls that we seem to get lately where it's like, oh, I gotta, you know, like James Bourne, you know, not James Bourne, Jason Bourne. Like every time he was in a movie, he was like, oh, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be killing people. You know, like it was so like it was refreshing to see people who are like, yeah, we're good at killing. That's what we do. And we do it for a good cause and we're going to have fun doing it. And there's something about that I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, I was joking earlier about the Suicide Squad thing, but the scene where they go into the Nazi camp felt straight out of that Idris Elba, John Cena scene in Suicide Squad. Like, it felt so similar. And that was the part of Suicide Squad where I was having the most fun. And it's the part in this movie where I'm having the most fun. Like, I am really enjoying the action scenes. And I do... I like some of the stuff they're doing in between. It just was kind of sleepy in parts to me. And I like the characters. It's hard. It mm-hmm. just, like I said, I don't mind what they're doing, but it didn't seem like Richie was being economical with his time. Like, I think this could have easily been an hour 45 and still given you all the same beats, all the same moments. You know, there's enough to cut out of this where it could be nice, sleek, slim, and get you from A to B and enjoy the ride along the way. Like, I'm giving you criticisms, but that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. The way Dawson was talking about it before we got started, I don't know that he enjoyed it.
It just dragged. I mean, the action was okay, but it's not enough to save it for me.
I mean,
it was fine. I don't ever think I'll ever really watch it again. It didn't really feel very Guy Ritchie to me, I guess. I don't. Am I wrong for that? It just felt like a generic. You could have put director. It didn't feel like his patented like quips. And
I agree.
And,
I agree with that.
I mean, there was agree moments, to a like, certain extent because I think Guy Ritchie over the years, where like other directors lean into their isms, like for instance, we talking about Zack Snyder, like the slow motion that he's known for is all over, you know, his recent movies, and like J.J. Abrams and his lens flares, like he needs to rein that in, you know. But like, I feel like Guy Ritchie over the years has reined in his Guy Ritchie isms, you know, because it's not a lot of cut to a lot of British slang. Like his old movies, some of those old movies are, if you're not into that kind of world, are unapproachable. Like you will watch them and be like, it's like I'm watching a foreign language. Like I know they're speaking English, but they might as well be speaking German or something, you know? Yeah. But I feel like with his latest movies, he's reined that in. Like even Wrath of Man, for instance, is not, it's not, if you didn't know it was a Guy Ritchie movie, I don't think you would, mm-hmm. you know? I think maybe he got all his Guy Ritchie-isms out in his Netflix show. It could be that, because that show, which I love, is Guy Ritchie.
That's
110%.
That's The Gentleman.
The Gentleman, show. Yes.
Which I recommend. That movie was very Guy Ritchie too, right? So I think he does kind of pick and choose whenever he does that. He has it in him, but he also has it in him to be sort of more, I guess,
reserved.
Reserved is, I was going to say generic, and I was like, that's probably not the right word. But reserved is probably a better word. I think Henry Cavill and Alan Ritchson had a ball making this movie.
Yes.
They looked like they were having a blast. And I love the fact that they had Alan Ritchson's character using the bow and arrow so much. Like, that was just, that just added something to it. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. I said the action scenes are fantastic. Like,
yeah, that's, I like the action, but
those are really fun. There's a lot of fun happening there. I don't care so much for the British intelligence pieces.
Yeah,
anything that takes us, well, really anything that takes us away from our team, I don't enjoy that. Like Cary Elwes, however you say it. All of his scenes. Let's make them as short as we possibly can. I love him. Let's get him off of there. I want to live with this team of misfits. That's mm-hmm. what I want. I want that movie, and we get it for a lot of it. And like I said, Isa Gonzalez, she's vaulted up in my rankings. I'll just say that. Big fan.
Three body problem. She's in every episode.
Oh, she's in that?
Okay.
I might have to watch that then.
Oh, it's great. Which means, did they announce that they're going to do it all Or have I jinxed it?
I'm sure they will. It was like the number one TV show for like 2 weeks.
I believe last week. I believe last week in the chat, Frack, you said I have a three body problem in my pants. So there's that. It's more than I needed, but now you know it too. What else do we want to chat about before we get out? I mean, I don't know how much there is to talk about, really, because it is kind of like, Reggie, you gave us the pieces of the plot. You gave us the beats. And really, there's not a ton outside of that I would even care to talk about. Like, it's kind of straightforward.
Okay, I'll say this. One thing I noticed, like, when it comes to period pieces is there aren't a lot of diversity in the cast. And, like, this cast had even though, yeah, they're in Africa, so of course they're going to be black people in it, but, like, how prominent they played in the role, I really enjoyed. And I hope that becomes the norm. Who knows? But, like, I thought that was cool, too, because it wasn't like they were just background characters, and they weren't, like, caricatures of Africans or whatever.
No, they were real people.
Yeah, like, for instance, when they're on the train trying to decide what they're going to have for dinner, the waiter's there. He's just like, will you please just make an order? Like, that was
fun. I did like that train scene. Like, that.
Yeah, that train scene was
fun. I could do with that. I feel like, I don't know, there's something about trains. I like trains.
Maybe you're on the spectrum.
I enjoy scenes that take place on trains and movies. I've realized that. I don't know what it is. But think about all the movies that you like that take place on trains.
Is a whole train.
Yeah.
Train to Busan.
Now, I mean, we don't have to just name movies with train in the title.
Cutting Room Floor.
Midnight Meat Train. Train movies.
Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
You guys ever seen Midnight Meat Train? With Bradley Cooper? It's not a porno.
What's that one? What's his name?
Vinny.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Okay, Vinny's. Okay, Vinny, then yes, I have seen that. Because you said Bradley Cooper was in it. I was like, oh, it's not the one with Vinny Jones then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is.
It's funny that Vinny Jones is the person I remember from that movie.
Bradley Cooper's just the main character. That's all.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper, honestly, is forgettable in a lot of stuff to me.
Is that so?
Mm.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, his body of work. I'm like, oh, he was Rocket Raccoon, but, like, even that I almost forgot. I mean, yeah, it's just a voice, but still.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. All right, do we want to give scores?
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, let's give scores.
We've been here for a while.
I'll go first. Like I said, it dragged in parts for me, and that was kind of tough. But I did enjoy the action. I think that the main cast of characters are, sorry to bore you, having a good time. And it shows on the screen. I did enjoy the movie. I did enjoy it. But it wasn't what I hoped it would be. I'm going to give it a 7.5. Not terrible. Not a bad score. Better than average. But
yeah,
nothing to write home about, really.
I don't think we're really not that far off. I thought you might be higher on it than I was. I thought it was okay. Action scenes were good. The rest of it kind of dragged. I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Give it your 9, Reggie. Give it.
Yes,
nine.
I am going to give it a 9. Maybe it's my conservative bend. I don't know.
Did you say you have a conservative bend?
Man, apparently, geez. I do.
You need to get that looked at. You need to get that looked at, son.
What's up, Gonzo?
Because Yeah, like I said, I like the way that they took this story and made it, you know, fun and accessible. And I'm a big fan of Guy Ritchie and maybe a big Anglophile as well. I don't know. But like, this was just a fun action movie, and I thought it was smart at times as well. I like how things kept changing throughout the movie. The pacing I thought was brilliant. And these characters, you know, like when they all at the end, when they're just kind of standing there, and it's just like, yeah, this is great. And then I even like the prologue where it puts like the faces on the screen and lets you know what happened to these characters later on. Because I think with movies that are quote unquote based on a true story, you're always wondering, well, how much of this is true and how much of this is embellishment? And yeah, there's a lot to embellish here, of course. That goes without saying. But like, I feel without looking it up, you kind of feel like it's more grounded in some sort of reality. So I felt that was pretty fun. And it was interesting to see this like pivotal moment in history in a fun way, in lighthearted way. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And as a fan of Guy Ritchie, this is pretty good. Like one of my, I'm not going to say be like a captive of the moment and say it's my favorite Guy Ritchie movie, but it's probably one of. I bet I'll come back to this, you know, quite frequently.
Okay. Well, that's a 7.5, a 9, and a 7. That's an average of 7.833. On our see it, stream it, skip it scale, it would be our lowest see it. It would also be our highest stream it. So it's right in the middle.
I say see it. Guy Ritchie doesn't miss.
I guess this is where we decide if the cutoff for see it is an average of 8 or not.
Oh. I mean, that's where we've been going, so I guess this is a high stream it. That's okay. And yeah. You know what? To be honest, I could see that as well. Like, there are people I would definitely say, oh, you got to see this. Because, like, I think it might come down to how you feel about Guy Ritchie and maybe to a certain extent Henry Cavill. Like, I don't think Henry Cavill is a draw for anybody. So,
he's not.
I think there are a lot of great characters in here.
I do think Henry Cavill is a draw for some people out there.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's tongue is a draw for some people.
Jesus.
What?
It's not a draw for me, but
I'm confused by that statement.
Did you not see everyone posting the GIF of film from the trailer? We're sticking his tongue. No,
I did not.
Do you Twitter, bro? I mean,
not really.
You too busy reading encyclopedias and history books? Is that what you're doing on a Saturday night?
And getting
with your fake girlfriend
cosplay together.
Your Ren Faire cosplay with your fake ass girlfriend.
Oh, she let me down. I thought she says, last I got was I'm trying to think of a cool nickname. I was like, okay.
Well, looking forward to the day where she joins.
It's just me making chat. Nutcracker TikToks, reposting.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week with a review of Boy Kills World. It's an interesting looking film with a deaf mute character in the lead. Action movie. It's R-rated and it appears to be bonkers from the trailer. So we will we'll be back next week to talk about that. Until next time, everyone. Smoochy, smoochy.
You don't need to follow anybody.
But you can follow us. I'm Brent, and I am...
It's not Malcolm.
And he's Rob, and he's...
Rob.
There's also Reggie, who is...
Hidden.
We can't forget about Dawson at...
Andy!
Underscore
Dawson.
Don't forget to follow the podcast at CinemaChatPod on Twitter. And check out our website, cinemachatpodcast.podbean.com.
I'm following you now. I'm just going to follow you everywhere. I'm just going to follow you the rest of my life.
Thanks, Peter. Now, if the rest of you would get off your ass and follow us, that would be great.
Mail, motherfucker!
Oh, and don't forget to send your emails to cinemachatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please, send us something. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
Fracky says, what does a deaf character sound like, Brent? Like if Finn did their voice. I'm not doing that. Finn has the corner, the market cornered on deaf voice. I won't be doing that on this show. But he is deaf and mute, so we only hear his dialogue. Okay? We hear his inner thoughts. So,
and it's the guy who does Bob's Burgers. So Rob is excited.
Wow. Apparently Jess is in the chat room, guys.
Stop the presses. Reggie made a new account.
Yeah.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Oh, and don't leave your garbage all lying around. It's a total dick move. Go.